Oh man, God, we just love the gospel. We love this good news that we have been crucified with you. Can we have some lights on? I can't see anyone at all. And I feel like I'm at home practicing a preach, talking to myself. We're going to take the offering, the evening offering. So if I could ask the team that's doing that, please to come up. That'll be awesome. Whoever they may be. Bro, can you give that to Sherwin? Thanks. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gospel which we give to every week. We give because it's so transformed our lives, Father. And tonight I pray, Lord, that as we just give of ourselves, we give to this gospel, I pray, Lord, that this message would go to all the nations. As these wonderful people give, as we all give of our finances, whether it's tonight or whether it's on the internet banking, Father, as we give of our finances, I pray, Lord, this gospel would go to all nations from this church. Every nation would hear the gospel through the preaching at Highway, because this good news is so radical. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right. Well, as you know, we've just got back from Nelspruit. We were up in Healing Wings. It's called Healing Wings because people that have been addicted to cocaine and heroin need deep, deep healing. I mean, you cannot believe what people go through to get their next fix of heroin. It is unbelievable. One woman, she shared her testimony. One woman shared how she spent 950,000 rand of her boss's money to get... I mean, other people, they work... Because what they do is they have to write down... When they come into the rehab, they have to write down... how much they've spent. They have to try to work out how much they've actually spent on drugs because it's part of their rehabilitation process. Some guys, 100 million rand. You've got no idea. That's how much money the devil is moving in. And I want to tell you, turn with me very quickly to Isaiah 60. Turn very quickly there to Isaiah 60. And this is the promise of the new covenant. Look at verse 5 of Isaiah 60. You can have that on the screen as well, Jace, if you can get Isaiah 60 verse 5. It says, in fact, let's start at verse 1. Start at Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come. It has come. This is prophesying a day now. Isaiah is in the presence of God and he is seeing a day and he's speaking to a people in the future. It's like he can see a vision of people and he's speaking to those people in the future. And so he's speaking in the past, but he's speaking in the past tense because he's speaking to people in the future. Do you understand that? Good. I'm sure you grasp that. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the peoples. Friends, when people are spending 100 million rand on drugs, one person alone, thick darkness is on the earth. Thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Friends, this is what is going on in this day. Around the world, there is thick darkness around the world. It is a thick and heavy darkness. But amidst that thick and heavy darkness arises the light of the gospel. Isaiah 53, 54, 55 is a direct promise of the new covenant which Jesus has made. And for so long, it's been kept hidden for ages, but now in these days, never before. You know, the Bible says that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. That is mind-blowing. That is mind-blowing. That means we will have greater revelations than some of the early church people. Do you understand that? The greater of the latter house, the house before Jesus comes back, the glory is going to be so thick and so bright and so shining, it's going to be greater than what they had in the former house. Friends, we are living in the most exciting age. And I want to tell you, we experienced that in Nelspruit. It blew my mind. But just look at verse 5 now. In fact, we'll just keep going. Nations will come to your light. Kings to the brightness of your dawn. Friends, nations are coming from all over the world to hear this gospel. Muslim people have shut down Rob Rufus's website 3 times. They shut down Keir Taylor's website 2 times, I think. Wesley's. How many times? 3 as well. 4. 4 times. The gospel is being shut down. Nations are hearing about it and they want to look onto those websites. They want to get the gospel. And the Muslim computer hackers are going, hey, why are so many people going to that website? What's going on? I'm going to hack it. Nations will come to your light. Lift up your eyes. Look about you. All assemble and come to you. Lift up your eyes. Look about you. That's an encouragement, because we look around and we so quickly look at our circumstances, and we heard the word tonight. We so quickly look at our circumstances and the mess the world is in, and we go, oh, there's so much darkness. But he's saying, lift up your eyes. Look what's actually going on around the world. The glory is rising. It's rising up like a bubble. It's coming. It's coming. It is a wave stirring here, friends. Just look. But now this is the verse I just want to share here. Verse 5, then you will look and be radiant. Reminds me of 2 Corinthians 3. We with unveiled face behold his glory and we radiate. Your heart will throb and swell with joy, which I have personally experienced. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. I am telling you, there is coming a day, and it is a soon day, when the businessmen in gospel-centered churches are going to have so much money that they will be able to start rehab centers, orphanages, mission work at the drop of a hat without even having to worry. How much money do you need? There you go. It's going to happen. These people were business people, these drug addicts. They were business people. They had the money. They had the money to get into drugs. Millions upon millions upon millions of rands. Friends, I'm telling you, a day is coming when that money will not be with the drug addicts. That money will not be with the drug dealers, the Nigerian drug lords. The money will be here, right here in the gospel-centered churches. I am convinced of it. I tell you what, Nelspruit was, Mark, you've been, you know what it's like. Healing Wings was an eye-opener, actually, to what's going on in the world, to me. But a contrast of what's actually going on in the world and what we have. And how it changes their situation, how it transforms them. It was unreal. I'm going to ask those that I did ask, I SMS'd last night to share in the evening, if you want to come up quickly and just share a little bit about how Healing Wings impacted you, that'll be awesome. We've got Jace, Jennifer, do you want to share a bit, Jennifer? Yes, please, come on. Let me just share quickly before Graham goes. Sheldon is over there. Sheldon, do you want to put up your hand? That's Sheldon, guys. Sheldon is Jono's friend. Jono was addicted to drugs for 11 years. Got delivered in a day. Encountered the presence of God, delivered in a day. He went up to the rehab with us to minister. He preached for 30 minutes, shared his testimony. After he was finished, he was one-on-one ministry for 3 hours straight. That's how impacted the guys were. They didn't want to leave. They just wanted to talk to him and learn from him. Now, here's the thing. This is crazy. This is a Book of Acts stuff. So we're at a place called Healing Wings in Nelspruit. Sheldon, one of Jono's best friends, went to Mozambique, right? And he's preaching in Mozambique. And while he's preaching, a guy comes up to him after he's preaching and says, what you're preaching is unbelievable. Please come and preach it. I run a place called Healing Wings in Mozambique. Healing Wings only has two branches, one in Nelspruit, one in Mozambique. The owner of Healing Wings heard Sheldon preaching, put him in his helicopter, and flew him to Healing Wings in Mozambique. So we're preaching the gospel at Nelspruit the same weekend that Sheldon's preaching the same gospel at the Healing Wings branch in Mozambique. Friends, this is the age we are living in. Book of Acts Christianity, friends. It's not a joke. Without further ado, Bill, you've got the mic there. Graham.
Hello.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Healing Wings was amazing. Just the highlight for me was seeing how open the guys were to what God was doing. Every word you told them, they would receive it. During worship, they would just receive, receive, receive. Like they were pulling stuff out of you the whole time. And really, they're just also open to sharing their lives with you. Like, before you go, you kind of don't know what to expect. Like, you're thinking, well, they're going to be closed. Like, you think there's going to be some sort of barrier. Like, don't go there, don't speak about their hurts, don't speak about their lives. But actually, it's a whole lot of people who've really reached the end of themselves, and they realize that the only way out of their situation and to recovery is through Jesus. And, I mean, God's the only thing that can set them free. And they realize it. And because of that, they're so open, and they come up to you and they're like, hey, what about this? What about this? Can you tell me more? How do I get closer to God? And all of their activities that they do is centered around God and centered around knowing Him more. And yeah, for me, just the way the guys received everything you said was amazing. I'm definitely going back next time, and yeah, I loved it. So anyone who's keen, get on the bus and go.
Sweet. Yeah, the whole of Healing Wings was the highlight for me. It was amazing. I had an expectation going. I did hear a whole bunch of stories from the previous times the guys went, so I was like, this is going to be flipping awesome. So I did have an expectation, and I had this idea in my mind that it was going to be like one of those dingy blocks with all those cells, and the people in the rehab are going to like sit in the corner of their cells and just get their meds and their food, and that's it, you know? So I arrived, and I was like stunned. I was like, this is like a really cool camp venue, you know? Like, we should come here for a church camp. But like, no, genuine, like, that's what I thought. So, like, the first night we arrived, we had the most amazing worship, and the guys there were just so hungry for God. We'd sing a song, and the guys were like, okay, it's finished, and they're like, no, we want another song. And then we'd do another song, and they're like, no, another song, last one. And then we'd do another one, they're like, no, last one. And that happened like 8 times. Like, it happened, we had 8 last songs, so that was something like that. And I'm not over-exaggerating, I'm serious. Anyway, and just, yeah, the whole weekend, the guys were just so hungry for God. And as Graham said, they were just so open. Like, everything you say to them, they just want to receive it. They just want to hear about the gospel of the good news. And it's just changing their lives. You can see it in their eyes when you're just ministering to them. The guy's just receiving it all. And, like, the way that the love of God is just ministering to them, because the one guy I was just chatting with, he was just telling me how lonely he feels and how his family don't care about him or love him. And he just wants to feel like he has a purpose in his life. Like, just ministering the love of God into his life was absolutely amazing for me. And while you're ministering to them, you're giving, but you don't realize how much you're actually receiving. The whole time, you're talking to them, and you're ministering to them, and you're telling them about God. But at the same time, their story is impacting your life. So for me, just hearing about their stories and how it impacted me and touched my heart was amazing. So the whole weekend did grow me. And it touched my heart just to see how God is working in that place, and how God is the lowest of the low, that we think God loves them, and He's making a massive impact, a massive change in the rehab. Yeah.
Hello, everyone. This is my third time going to Healing Wings Rehab in Nelspruit, and no, I'm still addicted to Facebook. yeah, and just this year around, they I've never seen them so receptive. Like, everyone was just so friendly. I felt like I'm at home now. When I go, I'm like, where's my bed? Okay, I'm going to sleep there. You know, like, it's such a relaxed atmosphere. People are so real, down to earth. And this year, our praise and worship has just been getting better and better every year. And this year, it was off the hook. That we would have glory sessions, and all they want to do is just worship God. And I remember the one girl, I was in the bathroom afterwards, and she came to me, she's like, whoa, I've never experienced God like this in my life. This is the best weekend of my life. Like, I think when they're in rehab, they miss their families. There's just so much stress, and they've got all their fears of going out of rehab and back into the real world. And there's things going on in the real world that they want to be part of, but they're not. And I think a weekend where it's just all about the presence of God just restores them so deep inside, they don't even know what God is doing, because all they're doing is just putting themselves out there, and God's just coming and doing a supernatural work in their hearts. And it's in the presence that addictions get broken, and like, it's in the presence that fears are put aside. It's like, you know, I remember they were like, what must we do? I got to minister to like 5 ladies for like an hour each. Like, it was amazing this time. And they were all asking me the same question. What must I do? These are all my fears. They laid all that. We just sat and chat, and they tell me everything that they worried about. And I just prayed and I said, put yourself under the presence of God. It's more powerful than any man, any psychologist, any psychiatrist, any counselor, whatever. If you just like allow God to move in your heart and help you, and he's broken the chains, now step into it and live it out. It was just, and they were just so open, like their stories and stuff. It just breaks your heart to the things that they've had to go through. And it amazes me how little things in our lives the devil can use. Like, it all starts off with little comments that their parents make, or something that just happens, a rejection, a fear, and it just blows out of proportion, and there they are in this huge big mess now in a rehab, 7th rehab, 8th rehab, just, and it's all like, it's all insecurities and stuff, and it's just, Jesus is the only solution. And I just can't wait till next year. Like, it's going to be amazing. They've welcomed us in. They accept us. They're familiar with us now. They trust us. So we basically have free reign when we go there to just love on them and just have glory parties all night long.
Well, firstly, just to say, this place is like a holiday resort. Like, when I arrived, as Jason said, it's like, it's not ugly at all. Like, it's almost like the early church in Acts, but just like 5-star awesomeness. Like, it was crazy. With electricity, of course. But yeah, I think completely off the topic, what really stood out for me was that John Bailey had a vision to go, and he saw the harvest field, and basically he was the one organizing everything, and basically he saw the dream, and he saw the vision and the benefit of going, and he just went after it, and he got guys behind him to follow his dream, and he just put everything into his dream. And it's like an ongoing dream of that he wants to go there every 6 months. And he got the church behind him. But just to encourage you guys, that a lot of people who've had dreams for like orphanages or different places around the country, to step out and to go after it and find people who are willing to partner with you. And if people don't want to partner with you, they've got a different vision. They're going after something different. Find people who want to go with you. Like, Jono's a reformed drug addict, so you get him alongside, and he follows in with John Bailey's. They're from different sides of the world, John and Jono, but they had the same vision to impact the drug addicts, and working together with the same vision is just craziness. It's bringing heaven to earth.
Awesome, guys. Thanks a lot. Not working properly, not on properly. Sure. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, please. Just going to share a little bit about that for the next 20 minutes. And just to say, we had Sean Foyt here this weekend on Friday night and yesterday morning. Honestly, one of my favorite worship leaders. A lot of people don't know who he is, but I follow him on Twitter, Facebook, the internet. And he's close friends with the top revivalists around the world. He plays with Jesus Culture, all the songs, all your top Christian music that's coming out these days. He's with those guys. He's on that level. He's just unbelievable. But he's so humble that He's not into names and this is who I am, and he just goes from place to place. He says, I'd rather be in the small places that where no one knows me than be in huge big conferences, because I want to impact the people that don't have anything. He was in North Korea at the beginning of this year, where the average life expectancy of a born-again Christian is 2 weeks. He was telling us the story. It's just unbelievable. So that was also just an amazing weekend. Friends, and Highway is exploding. Just amazing things happening. Nelspruit, Healing Wings, Sean Foyt, awesome. Sean Foyt is very good friends with Banning Liebscher of Jesus Culture. Jesus Culture, if you don't know who they are, you know, maybe listen to the radio or something. But Jesus Culture are probably going to be here next year. And it's going to be just revival. It's happening already. It's stirring. And that's what we're going to talk about now. So without further ado, let us get to the scripture here, the word that I want to just explode to us tonight. And I just pray that you, Father, would breathe life upon your word. The Spirit gives life. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And I pray, Father, you would come by your Spirit and breathe on this word tonight. Breathe on every word that I say tonight. And breathe life into our beings. Breathe life into our souls. Breathe life into our flesh. Breathe life into our spirits tonight, right now. I pray as we go to your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Come on. Well, verse 1, we're just going to go through a couple of verses and just have a look at some stuff that's really burning on my heart. Paul, we've been reading through Romans so much over the last couple of years here at Highway, and by now you would know that Paul is giving a straight breakdown of the gospel. Can you imagine that this is one letter? There's no, like, he didn't, like, add extra emails or add chapters. It was one long email. No chapter one, chapter two, chapter... It was just one long email. I don't even know if he did paragraphs, if they did that back then. It was just, he wrote straight. And he's now built up this incredible case for what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. And he says in Romans 7, oh man, I preached on Romans 7 at in the rehab at Healing Wings. Romans 7 is a picture of, we were married to the law. We were married to the law, friends. Why were we married to the law? Because Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So the moment Adam and Eve ate of that, we were married to the law. Mankind. We heard Sean Michaud last Sunday morning say that it's not the law of the Ten Commandments, it's the law system. The whole world's in a law system. If you do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. That's the system of the world. And wherever you in your mind decide for yourself, in your mind, I don't know if that's good. Friends, be careful. Friends, be careful. Jesus had a completely different argument. Even when something was wrong, he turned it around. The woman that was caught in adultery and that deserved to be stoned. Even when that was wrong and clearly against the law, he still loved her and set her free and said, I don't condemn you. So when we in our minds say, I don't know if that's right and I don't know if that's wrong, just be careful. God's not into human beings operating by not what we think is good and evil. And so we were married to this man that was the law, and he demanded perfection from us. Demanded it. It was a case of, you're not good enough. Look at your shoes. You haven't washed your shoes for an hour. What is wrong with you? And your eyes. The mascara is starting to crack. You are crazy. What is wrong with you? Now, I'm thirsty. Please get me a cup of water. Thank you. That was quite slow, by the way. This is too hot. I like my water cold. And we were running around trying to please this husband. And this husband was saying, not good enough, not good enough, not good enough, not good enough, not good enough. Jesus, Romans 7, Jesus came as the law. Colossians 2 says that he nailed the law to the cross. He came as the law. That's why he took the law up to its highest standard, because the Pharisees thought that they could keep the law. And because he was the embodiment of the law, the perfection demanded by God, he came as the law and then died. He died as the husband and rose again as the new man. He rose again as the new man, the new husband. The old husband is dead. New husband is alive. And now we get to marry the new husband. We are one with him. The Bible says we are one with him. That's mind-blowing. That is just, people talk about getting drunk on the Holy Spirit. You get drunk on that. I'm one with God. That is unbelievable. And so Romans 7, he gets into all that. And then Romans 8, he goes through how we were married to the law. And then I tried to do what was good, but I couldn't do it. And I tried not to do what was bad, but I did it anyway. And then he goes, who is going to set me free from this stupid system? Verse 25 of chapter 7. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the flesh a slave to the law of sin. And he's built up his case to say this, to say what is probably the pinnacle of Christianity that the church has missed for so long. Therefore, because of what Jesus has done, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None whatsoever. There is no condemnation. None. No. Zero. Nada. And we do not realize that how deep no condemnation actually is. I hate sickness. Hate it. I hate death. I hate even anything from the devil. I just hate it. And we've been commissioned by Jesus to go and heal the sick and raise the dead. But there are times when I don't feel like it. There are times when I don't see healing after laying hands on the sick. But I want to tell you, there is now no condemnation. And it is that freedom, that there is no condemnation, that drives me to pray for more sick people. I am not condemned in any... I don't sit there going, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Because I haven't done this and I have done that. We live in a place of no condemnation. Friends, this is... There is no condemnation whatsoever. James, you're preaching license to sin. You can't preach this. People will just go out and never pray for the sick and never raise the dead and never not sin and never read their Bibles. Friend, you haven't understood the power of God, because in Romans 1:16 he says the gospel is the power of God. So when I preach this message, it makes them go, ah, I'm under no condemnation. I want to go pray for the sick. Ah, I'm under no condemnation. I want to go find out what Jesus did for me. Ah, I'm under no condemnation. I don't want to sin anymore. That's the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is that he empowers you. That's the power of the gospel. But James, I don't really feel like doing those things, but I understand that I'm under no condemnation. Wait. Jesus said, wait. Wait for the gift my Father shall send. Just wait. Don't stop coming to church, friends. Just don't. Because there's no condemnation in this place. I want to tell you, in this church, for me as an elder and as this leadership here, I want to tell you right now, there's no condemnation on this eldership team. Don't stop coming to church, friends. Don't stop going to cell group, meeting with people who love you in an atmosphere of grace. Just wait. It'll hit you like a bus. And you'll be like, where was I what just happened? And I've heard it so much. People who were at Rob Rufus's conference, and even before then, old Wade, my brother here in the front row, has been like 6 months ahead of the game and everything. He's like, have you heard this guy? No. And then 6 months later, everyone's like, have you heard this guy? Yeah, Wade told me about him 6 months ago. Wade just got exploded by this gospel before Rob came. And then Rob came and we were all like, oh, that's what you were talking about. And some people didn't get it then. Some people just kept coming to church. And even now, here, only a couple of months recently, people are like, I got it. I've never been so on fire for God in my life. Wait, friends, just wait. Don't stop. Oh, Jesus is so good. He is so patient. He is so patient. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I like what Steve actually said this morning. That there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're outside of Christ Jesus, there is condemnation. Which was an interesting paradigm for me. And it makes sense because John 3:17 says that those who have not believed in me stand condemned already. So they, people who haven't experienced God's love, haven't been born again, they are under the system of good and evil. And they know they're not good enough. Deep inside, there's something telling them you're not good enough. And when we come and tell them, God doesn't condemn you. God isn't counting your sins against you any longer. As a sinner who has never been born again, God's not counting your sins against you. I heard a great quote recently. Chad Mansbridge from Australia said that all sin has been dealt with. All sin has been forgiven. Done. All sin. Past, present, and future. Every human being completely dealt with. But not all human beings have been made righteous. Because it's when they come to know the love of the Father imputes perfection into their spirits. The perfection of God comes into their spirits, into their beings. Very interesting. Friends, these are, we start getting into this kind of stuff, it's like, you're getting into some crazy stuff, I don't even understand, James. But it's, these are spiritual truths that are just going out. And what it gets slowly but surely massaged into your spirit. Because through Christ Jesus, verse 2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the flesh. The flesh is fallen. And I'm going to get into this shortly. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the flesh. That NIV says sinful nature, but better translation is just flesh. Your flesh on you. It was weakened by the flesh. God did. What the law was powerless to do, God did. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in who? Us. The righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Friends, Jesus condemned sin in the body of Jesus. He condemned it once and for all. It was already in him. Sin was already imputed onto him by the time he was hanging on the cross. And then the Father condemned it. He condemned it. Sin, I burn you up. The fire of God burnt sin up, consumed it once and for all. He condemned sin once and for all so that everything that we require to be righteous before God can be now met in us. That's crazy. The righteous requirements of the law. And if you know how much is required of you by the law, you'd be going, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes. And God's going, yes, yes, that's what I did for you. I've met it fully, fully in you. And now we don't live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Okay, now just hang with me here for a second. The reason why I've changed the word sinful nature to flesh there in verse 5 is because if we read those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, we can say that we can interpret that as saying that we still have a sinful nature inside of us. We still have a monkey on our back. We still have a black dog inside of us fighting with the white dog. But if you've come to Christ, you never had two dogs in the first place. You only had black dog. So you can't try feed the white dog because the white dog ain't there. Hey, white doggy, here you go, here's some food for you. I'm doing good things. See how many good things I'm doing. Here you go, eat, white doggy. There ain't no white dog, dude. It's darkness in there. And you think with your eyes you can see around, it's dark. And you think you're feeding the white dog and the black dog. And the black dog is just getting bigger and bigger. But I want to tell you, thanks be to God who through Christ Jesus killed the black dog once and for all, ripped him out, put him on the cross, killed him, and then he gave you a white dog. White dog inside now. The lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion of the tribe of Judah is in me and he roars. He is roaring to get out. Jesus is in me. He is alive and he lives in me. Now, this is, say all that, because the reason why I'm telling you that sinful nature must be translated as flesh is because what happens is our flesh still has desires. And that's why born again believers can leave the rehab and go and get back into drugs. Because they haven't had a revelation that their spirits are 100% righteous. That they have Holy Spirit in them, Christ in them, hope of glory. And they're meant to live from that place. From there. They're meant to live from what's going on in the Spirit. In the Spirit realm. 2 Corinthians 5 says we live by faith, not by sight. We live by the Spirit realm, not by the earthly realm. What's going on around me? What do I see? What do I feel? How do our emotions feel? We don't live by those things. We as believers live by the Spirit. They haven't been taught that stuff yet, that they are a new creation. I preach new creation. The guys will tell you, I preach new creation realities. I said, your new nature doesn't want drugs anymore. Sitting, I could see just at least 10 of them just weeping, like flowing tears. Friends, this gospel's like there in the Bible. How did we not see it? That's the glory of the new creation. And so I've said that because a born-again believer can still sin, if you want to put it that way. All right? Now, sin is a condition. So the word sin doesn't exist anymore. Now, I know a lot of minds go, oh, sinless perfection, no. But the actual word sin means a condition. The condition of sin, we are out of that completely. We're out of the condition of what God thought was sin. All right? But we can still miss the mark as human beings. As a born-again believer, I can still miss the mark. I can still do things that my new nature doesn't want to do. Why? My flesh. My flesh doesn't know that, let's just use drugs while we're on it, okay? My flesh doesn't know that heroin is bad. My flesh just knows heroin feels flipping good when I take it, and all I want is for my flesh to feel that. My flesh doesn't know it's bad. It just knows how good it feels. My mind may know, hey, if I keep doing this, I'm going to destroy my body. I'm going to die a death before I'm even 30 because It's getting into my cells and it's completely depleting my body of all its natural resources. My mind knows that. My flesh doesn't. My flesh just wants it. And so what this verse is saying here is, we don't live by that flesh anymore because we have something else inside of us which we can tap into. And what we need to do is live by that thing. When we live by that thing, we won't even worry about what our flesh wants. That's why Jesus could fast food and water for 40 days. Because the spirit in you is greater than the flesh on you. You can go without food and without water for 40 days. Because the spirit in you, now this is where I get to my climax. Verse 11. Whoa! Verse 11 is, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. Look at this. We have an obligation. Verse 11. Before, that was verse 12. Okay, verse 10, we're going to wrap it up with this. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, which he is, if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Huh? So if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. That's interesting. Now what that means is the condition that this world is in, sin. My flesh was born into that condition. And so even though Christ is in me, my flesh is still dead because of sin. All right? Christ is in you. Your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. This is a contrast of this world and God's world. Complete contrast. This world got messed up the moment Adam and Eve fell. Completely messed up. And it's a contrast of heaven and this world. But your spirit is alive because of righteousness. You are like God in you. You are like God. That's how it's completely different. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. That means, I can hear you didn't really get that. That means that you can go without food and water for 40 days because the spirit that lives in you is giving life to your mortal body. The spirit that is in you can actually physically drive your body onwards without external resources. Come on, that's the gospel. Give Jesus a shout in this place. Stand. Come on. Stand. Jesus, come on. That's the gospel. Come on, people. Come on. That's the gospel. Come on, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus, for what you have done. You have placed the spirit of life inside of us. And now I am free. And now I don't need to live by the flesh anymore. I can live by the spirit. And I can completely live for your glory and your glory alone. Amen. Woo! Woo! Oh. Just every eye closed in this place. That may have been very complicated for you, but don't worry. Jesus also spoke in riddles. But if you have never, if you don't know if the dead dog, if the black dog, if you don't know if the black dog inside of you has been dead, and you don't know if you have a white dog inside now, you don't know if you have been made righteous. Jesus said, whoever believes in me will be born again. The Spirit of God will come upon them, and they will become a new being. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Nicodemus didn't get it. He was saying, what are you saying? Must I go and enter my mother's womb again? And Jesus is saying, no, you're thinking earthly. No, your mother gave birth to you once, but my father wants to give birth to you now. By bringing his spirit upon you and birthing in you your spirit needs to come alive. And you don't know if your spirit is alive. God Almighty has qualified you to have an alive, righteous spirit that will never depart from the love of God ever again. He has qualified it by the cross. Jesus took on every single one of your sins. Every single one. And now he wants to give you his righteousness. And if that's you, you don't know. I just want you to raise your hand. Every eye is closed right now. Just raise your hand. Just to anyone here. Wonderful. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. A couple of people there. Look up at me then. If you don't want to raise your hand, just look up at me. Wonderful. Thank you, Father, for these wonderful people. Is there anybody else? Anyone else? Look up at me if you don't want to raise your hand. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Just a couple of guys. Holy Spirit, we just pray for these wonderful people in this place. We pray for a radical born-again experience. Tonight they will have encounters with your love. Tonight they will dream dreams of how much you love them from tonight. Father, from today they will become new beings. From today they will know your love. I want to tell you, my friend, according to your faith today, you are a son of God. You are a child of God from today. And the Bible says further on in Romans chapter 8 that nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. And I pray, Father, for a revelation of your love. I pray, Father, that your love would flood these people's hearts right now. Spirit of God, come on these people and bring your love. Bring your love, unconditional love. You don't require anything of them. You just require that they receive your love. Holy Spirit, breathe life on them right now and let them know your love. Even those of us that need a fresh touch of your love, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would breathe life on these people and bring, once again, a fresh revelation of your love. Reveal to us how much you love us. Because when we know how much you love us, it's so easy to love others. Holy Spirit, train us, even now. Train us, Lord. You've been speaking to me about fasting lately. Train me even, that I may go on a fast for 40 days. So that I can fully trust in the Spirit that is within me. Train our senses, Father, I pray, to be aware of your presence, to be aware of your Spirit, and to respond to fully trusting in that which is in us, and not that which is on us. Oh, Father, Holy Spirit, just do your work right now. We pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Chicken mayo, ham and cheese. No. Cheese.